And now a look at local and statewide news. The medical union representing Kodiak nurses, physical therapists, and other healthcare workers is going on strike to preserve earned sick leave and vacation benefits. On Tuesday, Alaska Medical Employee Association negotiators sent a 10-day notice to strike to Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center. Here's Genevieve Cook, a physical therapist and a member of the AMEA negotiating team.
I think the entire situation is really bad for recruitment. It's bad for retention. It's bad for hospital morale. It's bad for having a positive working environment. And I think that the issues are really coming from the corporation rather than our local hospital, who have always worked together really well in the past.
Hospital officials say CEO Gina Bishop could not be reached while on vacation, but the hospital statement says leadership is, quote, deeply disappointed in the union's decision to strike, end quote. Cook and other union members are working to maintain a benefit plan that they've had for more than 10 years. Proposed changes to the plan would mean about 10 working days or 2 weeks less paid leave in exchange for a new short-term disability plan. That plan offers partial pay for sick leave, but only kicks in after an employee has been sick for 7 days. Stalled over the contract dispute, AMEA employees have been working without a firm contract for more than a year. Talks resumed in February, shortly after union members voted to authorize the use of a strike.
We had a little bit of progress, so that was encouraging. We were not as close as we would have liked to have been to coming to an agreement.
Talks were scheduled to begin again this month, but according to AMEA and Providence later confirmed, Providence canceled them on Monday, citing business travel restrictions due to coronavirus concerns. According to Teamsters representative Jay Steagle, Providence leadership said they wouldn't be able to meet for 30 to 45 days, an option he said was, quote, unacceptable. Deagle, who asked for his voice not to be broadcast, said the union offered to meet with Providence to find a resolution within the 10 days before the strike, but as of Tuesday morning, they are unwilling. In their statement, Providence said the decision to call a strike in the midst of coronavirus concern was, quote, irresponsible. Without nurses, therapists, dietitians, caseworkers at work, Providence plans to bring in replacement workers during the strike to keep things running. But they are warning that non-emergency services may be limited. Hospital staffing is a concern with the global spread of the coronavirus, and while Cook says AMEA workers share concerns about the virus's threat to Kodiak, she says it's all the more important that they retain their paid sick leave during this time.
I would hope that they would have a fully staffed hospital at all times. You know, our concern is patient care, our concern is the community, our concern is our employees, so we'll be watching that as well.
As of right now, the strike is set to begin on Friday, March 20th. AMEA says it will end if Providence takes the changes to sick leave and vacation off the table. For now, however, both sides are planning for the strike to be indefinite. At Monday night's meeting of the Kodiak Island Borough Board of Education, School District Superintendent Larry Ledoux outlined what parents and the community can expect if the coronavirus spreads to Kodiak. KMXT's Maggie Wall has more.
School Superintendent Larry Ledoux told the board that Kodiak schools are in prevention mode right now, but they are preparing for the worst should it come to pass. He outlined a number of things the district is doing to prepare the students and parents should someone in Kodiak test positive for the coronavirus. Memos containing updated information are being sent by email blast to all families with children in the schools when there is new information to share. One of those went out last week and another was set to go out on Tuesday, he said. The district has also set up a special pandemic planning website, which Ledoux says is being updated every day. In addition to local school news, the website contains important information on the coronavirus, COVID-19, which is the disease caused by the virus, as well as links to sources of information for personal research. The district is also working to translate information into Spanish and Tagalog. Ledoux ran through a number of scenarios which would trigger a response by the district. First, scenario one.
Students or staff who are not ill and don't have symptoms, but have had close contact with a person with lab-confirmed COVID-19 will be asked to go home immediately. And the recommendation from public health would be that they stay home for 14 days. I don't want to use the quarantine because the district doesn't quarantine anybody. we would probably say you can't come back until we get a recommendation from the public health nurse.
When the building is empty, the sterilization begins.
At that point in time, the school may be closed for one day to carry on deep cleaning. Okay, and we're trying to get the fogging spray that would allow us to go through the school and deep clean it. But even if we didn't use the fog, Alan would bring in his full team to clean the school thoroughly, so it would open up the next day. So it would be like a one day, and if we could get it done all night long, but a lot of that stuff, you want a day for it to clear out and evaporate. So that would be a deep clean.
Trigger number two kicks in if coronavirus is confirmed in someone within the school system.
Scenario two, while there are currently no confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Kodiak schools, we are preparing for the possibility. In the event of a staff member or student who has been in attendance at a school site is lab confirmed to have COVID-19, that means if a student or a staff is lab confirmed, we will close the schools.
He says the decision to close schools will be done after consulting state and local health authorities.
And that's fairly standard recommendations from the Department of Health. Before we make that decision, I will be in contact with Dr. Zink at the state. She's the chief medical officer for the state of Alaska, our local public health officials, and our medical community. But that's fairly standard practice around the country.
Ledoux said that despite rumors, the schools will not close just because someone in town has tested positive for COVID-19. Especially if they have no contact with the schools or school children.
It's going to be a well thought out decision. If they have no connection with the school and the public health does not feel that we're in danger, then we will carry on as before.
The superintendent went on to tell the school board that the main focus right now is planning and hygiene. He noted that many of the administrators and principals in the audience had touched their faces during the meeting. That's a bad habit, said Ledoux. A habit, according to the Center for Disease Control, that Americans might want to break, as the coronavirus is easily spread hand to mouth. Another preventative the CDC is urging Americans is sanitation. Frequent hand washing, disinfecting surfaces, especially where many people gather, like schools.
We're trying to work with kids on hand washing. We're sanitizing during the day more than we ever had before. Doorknobs, tables, desks. Hand washing is a really big deal at the elementary school. In fact, at Chiniac, I heard that when the head teacher is in his office, the sink is out there, so the kids have to sing happy birthday while they're washing their hands so that he can monitor that it's going on.
Ledoux emphasized that he does not feel frantic or overwhelmed by the coronavirus preparations. He said the district is being prudent and will continue to plan for whatever possible outcome presents itself. For KMXT News, I'm Maggie Wall.
More from the district's coronavirus preparations. Kodiak Island Borough School District is releasing students early from school on Wednesday and Thursday to train staff to continue teaching remotely in the event schools need to be shut down as a precaution against the coronavirus. Superintendent Larry Ledoux says distance learning will involve iPads for every child in the district, delivering breakfast and lunch to children at home, and providing parents with support as well.
Certainly there'll be a number of snags, but we have technical support people standing by to support parents with needs. We'll have a call center open at night. We're translating a lot of our documents into other languages to support folk that have never used a computer before. So we're really doing a lot of brainstorming.
Ledoux says that the district estimates that 97% of students have access to the internet. But if a shutdown does occur, they plan to provide internet connections for households that don't have them. Training parents to help with distance learning is most essential for elementary age students, says Ledoux. In the shutdown scenario the district is planning for, but hopes never comes, he says he recognizes the difficulty that this will place on families.
If we close the schools, we realize that it's going to make it very, very difficult for families whose parents both work to support the needs of their children. We don't really have a lot of options if, you know, we're told to, you know, close the schools. Like, for instance, in the Coast Guard, a number of parents, both of them work. So if we close the school, it's going to affect everything in this town.
Closing down schools would not be a decision made lightly. Because of statutory requirements to educate Alaskan children, Ledoux says closing schools in the next few weeks or months would mean extending the school year into the summer to make up lost time.
And we also feel that would be severely disruptive because teachers have plans they would have to cancel, families would have to cancel plans, graduation would be restricted until the summer, and it would be very, very difficult for us to deliver a comprehensive education plan if we just close the schools.
For now, Ledoux says the district will continue to communicate with families through email, phone calls, and social media. Any decisions to close schools will be based on recommendations from the Alaska Chief Medical Officer and the local medical community, he says. Here's a little bit of good news about coronavirus in Alaska. If you need to be tested, it's likely free. The Alaska Division of Insurance is barring the companies it regulates from charging people for COVID-19-related testing as long as it's medically necessary. It's also asked companies to waive any payments for the office visit associated with testing. Alaska's health department has been doing all the state's testing free of charge, but private testing providers are starting to ramp up to ease a supply crunch. Lori Winghire is Alaska's insurance director.
We want people, certainly, if they are presenting symptoms, to be able to go to their physician or their provider and not have to worry about the cost sharing.
Winghire's division has also asked insurers to allow members to get early refills of their prescriptions in case they're required to isolate themselves at home. The directives only apply to plans that cover about 50,000 people, those who get their insurance through the individual marketplace or a small group plan. If your plan is through a large employer, a public agency, or a union, Winghire recommends you ask your insurer for details about testing costs. At least two of Alaska's private insurers, Primera Blue Cross Blue Shield and Moda Health, say they're complying with the state's order to provide free testing. They're also following the recommendation that fees for office visits be waived. Jim Grasko is the top Alaska executive at Primera, which has about 150,000 members in the state.
We don't want to have any barriers to access for testing or any other related expenses to get in the way of people getting tested and treated for this.
The free coverage applies to both in- and out-of-network providers, Grasko says. Kodiak's high and middle school drama team blazed right past other schools at last month's state championship. Team advisor Jared Griffin say they blew the other schools out of the water.
Over the past 20 years, only four other schools have won both drama and forensics, the championship. And we are like the fifth school ever to win both. So yeah, it's a really big deal.
Forensics, he explained, means public speaking. Overall, the Kodiak team ranks number two in Alaska with 11 actors placing in the top 50, according to a presentation before the Kodiak Island Borough Board of Education on Monday. The group's achievements are more striking for the fact that 2 years ago there was no drama team. All the effort to learn, compete, and perform was done in the past 18 months during after-school hours. Griffin spoke before the board.
We are trying to create the Shakespeares into less of a after-school club and more into a youth amateur slash professional theater organization with all the things that we do. High expectations, high standards. We choose challenging pieces to perform, challenging modern pieces, challenging classic pieces.
An example of the compelling work the group performed at state and high school junior high school junior Marissa Abston gave a moving one-person performance for the school board about a woman whose young daughter died in an accident.
It's one of those decisions you make a dozen times a day as a parent. You don't think about it afterwards because most of the time it works out, right? You've never done it. Left them undetected in the car while you quick ran to the market. Parked them in front of the TV while you took a shower. Let them loose in the park while you returned a phone call. No big deal. Most of the time, but this time was different.
Speaking recently with KMXT's Maggie Wall, Griffin said the students worked extremely hard to earn their success, and they're not afraid to take on difficult pieces like Abston did.
So our style is definitely a lot different. Our pieces are, and I think the same thing goes for our dramatic and humorous pieces, which also won in the drama categories, were much more complex than some of the other pieces.
You have mentioned that phrase complex in other times I've interviewed you about the kids.
Yeah, the multiple characters or broaching like thematic, really kind of deep and serious and troubling and sometimes thematic subjects or contexts. Like Marissa Abston, who won first place in solo acting, she is the state champion in solo acting. Her piece was about Medea, the myth of Medea, and a modern take on Medea. And there was no other performer in her category who was taking on such deep and complex and even like classical kind of material.
Griffin says four Kodiak students qualified for the Nationals in Albuquerque in June. The team will present a showcase of their best performances on April 11th. The Alaska legislature on Friday passed a citation honoring coach Joe Floyd, who passed away on February 22nd. Joe and his wife Carolyn moved to Kodiak in 1955 when Floyd accepted the job as a teacher and coach at Kodiak High School. The citation lists a long line of sports and other local after-school activities Floyd was instrumental in starting. They include the basketball program, wrestling, swimming, cross-country, track and field, and volleyball programs. Floyd also started Kodiak's intramural sports, youth wrestling, youth basketball, Babe Ruth League basketball, American Legion baseball, and the Adult City League basketball program. A winter basketball tournament still carries his name, as does the track and field at Baranoff Park. In addition, Floyd received much statewide acclaim and recognition for his efforts building athletic programs. But Floyd didn't just focus on sports. The community as a whole benefited from his many years of donating time and effort to organizations such as the Kodiak Electric Association Board of Directors, the Rotary Club, and the Kodiak Island Borough Board of Education. The legislative citation extends condolences to Floyd's family and friends, thanks him for his many contributions to others, and commends him on a life well lived. Iditarod mushers streamed into the tiny town of Nikolai throughout Tuesday. After remote lodges and shelter cabins, it's the first checkpoint in an actual community, and the early mushers got a warm welcome in spite of the cold temperatures. The run over the Alaska Range is typically one of the roughest sections of the race. This year, reports Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes, they got a pleasant surprise.
It was a little after 10:30 in the morning when Richie Deal pulled off the Kuskokwim River with a veneer of frost covering his fur ruff and his dogs.
Your cooker.
It's on the back.
Oh, okay. You got your booties. Are you doing your 24?
Deal was the first musher into the checkpoint, crowded with school kids, spectators, and race officials. It was about 30 below on the river earlier in the morning, but the temperature steadily climbed with the sun, and great big stoves made out of modified oil drums cranked out heat and steam as they warmed water for the mushers. It was the kind of windless, cold morning that freezes the wood smoke low in the air and makes each snowy footfall sound like a rusty door hinge. Deal said the run from Roan, gradually descending toward Nikolai, was good, mellow, and chilly. He broke up the run with 2 hours of rest.
I don't know, I stopped halfway from Roan to here.
As a prize for arriving here first, a local air carrier gave Deal a large, colorful Pendleton blanket and two huge beaver mitts sewn by local elder Olin Petruska.
She spent a lot of time and made them with love.
Cool, I just retired my other beaver mitts.
Similar to the conditions leading up the range, mushers who raced through the night said the trail crossing Rainy Pass, through the Buffalo Tunnels, and across the Farewell Burn was exquisite.
If it was like that every year, it'd just be fun.
Jesse Royer was the second in the Nikolai with happy-looking dogs and high spirits. The roughly 80-mile stretch from Roan to Nikolai consistently has some of the worst trail conditions anywhere along the 1,000-mile route. There are tree stumps, there's glare ice, gravel, dirt, overflow, and even the occasional ornery bison blocking the way. Royer said not so this year.
You know, I know it's kind of boring, but it was basically just a super nice run. Their booties are dry, no overflow, no open water. No dirt, no rock, just a lot of snow.
The normally hectic stretch was uneventful enough that Wade Mars even caught some sleep.
I'd sit down and pass out, and then I'd stand up and work, get warm, and then I'd sit down and pass out. It's a nice run for napping, it's so flat.
Of course, those lulls can turn into a liability. Travis Beals drifted off and got a rude wake-up call.
I fell asleep at one point and went off the trail and slammed into some
tree, and then it like must have bent backwards, and then it just clocked me right in the head. Good.
It was startling, but not a major injury. Most of the early mushers into Nikolai opted for a few hours of rest. The race continues up towards McGrath and to Katna, where a lot of the racers opt to take their 24-hour mandatory rests. In Nikolai, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
Today's KMXT Local News is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Plant-based seafood makers push back against labeling. More after this.
Integrated Marine Systems is the leader in marine refrigeration in Alaska. Simple, reliable, built to last. Visit imspacific.com.
Plant-based seafoods such as vegan shrimp, crab cakes, or tuna are a growing rage, but unclear labeling is confusing customers. A new study done by Food Minds showed that about 40% of consumers believed plant-based imitations contain actual seafood. Up to 60% thought the products had similar nutritional content as real fish. Yet fake seafood producers are pushing back against labels that tell exactly what's in their products.
We have to ensure that the labels themselves are educating people about something as simple as what's in the package. And a lot of these plant-based alternatives have suggested that they have the First Amendment right to call their product whatever they want.
Gavin Gibbons is Vice President for Communications at the National Fisheries Institute, the nation's largest seafood trade group. There's nothing wrong with the vegan seafood products, Gibbons says, but the makers don't even want the term imitation included on their packaging.
A package has something called a statement of identity on it. It is supposed to tell consumers what is in the package. And a lot of these highly processed plant-based alternatives have labels that tell you what is not in the package. For instance, it says vegan shrimp. Well, it's a vegan product that does not contain shrimp.
Gibbons says NFI is working to get a federal labeling fix, and there is support on Capitol Hill. Meanwhile, without any evidence, vegan seafood makers insist customers know what they're getting. Ironically, their promotions brutally bash the seafood industry as being unsustainable and cruel, and urges customers to leave fish off their plates for good. Find links at AlaskaFishRadio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
Fish Radio is supported in part by Joy Crafts, specializing in marine safety equipment. U.S. Coast Guard approved AMSI instruction for commercial fishing vessel safety procedures and drills, serving Kodiak for over 25 years. 486-6293 at 445 Shahafka Circle.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Welcome to this noon edition of the Island Messenger. It's about 29 degrees and fair in Kodiak today. Going to be sunny for the rest of the day. Northwest winds around 15 miles per hour. Tonight should be clear. Lows around 21. It's 6 degrees and fair in Anchorage right now. 9 degrees and fair in Anchorage right now. This afternoon is going to be sunny with a high near 20. Today is the 11th of March. Sunrise this morning was at 8:35 a.m. Sunset tonight will be at 8:06 p.m. That's 11 hours and 31 minutes of daylight, which is 5 minutes more than we got yesterday. The record high was 49 degrees in 1987, and the record low was zero in 1966. Looking at our tides for today, high tide for Kodiak will be at 4:08 p.m., 9.49 feet. Low tide will be out at 10:14 p.m., 1.01 feet. Over on the west side, high tides at 4:38 p.m., 17.61 feet. Low tide will be at 10:51 p.m., negative 2.83 feet. Looking at our community announcements for today, we already mentioned this one, but the Kodiak Island Borough School District is observing an early release schedule for all schools today and tomorrow, Thursday. This closure is for staff planning and training to prepare for the seamless continuation of instruction in the event of a school closure due to COVID-19. For more information, contact Bianca Clark, Secretary to the Board of Education, at 486-7566. A coronavirus news update from the city of Kodiak. As of March 5th, there have been no confirmed or suspected cases of COVID-19 in the state of Alaska. The best defense against the disease is proper hygiene and calling your healthcare provider if you have concerns about you or a family member being ill. As a reminder, the port of Kodiak is an international port and will continue to receive commerce to keep Kodiak's economy running. Our community is diverse and people are going to continue to travel. The Kodiak Area Emergency Services Organization is working with federal, state, and local partners, including the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, to monitor any changes. We urge the public to remain calm, stay informed by reputable news sources, and we'll share more information as they're updated at the state and federal level. For the most updated information on the outbreak, visit cdc.gov/coronavirus or call the Kodiak Public Health Center at 486-3319. Today at 6:30 p.m., there's a planning and zoning work session in Borough Assembly Chambers. And tomorrow, Thursday at 6:30 p.m., the Borough Assembly is having a work session in School District Conference Room. Kodiak City Council is holding a regular meeting tomorrow as well, 7:30 p.m. in Borough Assembly Chambers. That meeting is open to the public, and KMXT will broadcast it live. And that's all I have for you for today.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 3 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.